while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
What a feast you've been having this morning. I don't mind you, I feel full already. I better get myself organized. So let me just get a few little announcements out of the way to start with. So, and then I won't forget them at the end. I want all of you to have a little bulletin before you go. That's if you'd like to take one. Daphne, my dear wife here, has got a large supply of them outside. So please take one of these with you when we leave here today. They're all free, and it tells you a little bit about what God is doing across the world by bringing his people, the Jewish people, back. We also have some other little freebies. This is a wonderful little booklet if you're into Bible study, and I'm sure most of you are. It's just full of scriptures about the whole process that God is doing, bringing them back, restoring them in the land. And those of you who want to know just a little bit more about the practicalities of how we're doing it, there's a little book too, which comes at a very, very, very low price if you wish to buy. I tell you, it's a book, when you start reading, you can't put it down. So that's the end of the notices, so I'll put them down there for the minute. Oh, this is an amazing feast we've been having today, isn't it? It really is. Let me just get myself organized. And welcome to all of you who are watching by online or whatever mechanism you're using. And we just pray that you will be really blessed in the time we've got left today, studying God's word. Let's just pray for a minute. Lord, we just want to thank you for who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. There's no one like you, Lord. You're the Father of creation. Lord, you know all that's going on right across the world. You know what's going on in our hearts and in everybody's hearts. And Lord, we want to thank you that because of that, you sent us your precious Son, Jesus, who came as a Savior, as the Lamb that was slain, so each and every one of us can be set free from the sin that we all have, so that we can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus our Savior. Amen. I'm now just going to invite Daphne, my wife, up just to read a little bit more from Ezekiel 36. This is an amazing scripture, 36. So over to you, Daphne.
Ezekiel 36, 22-28. Say to the Israelites, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will pour my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land that I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Daphne. Let's just turn to look at these scriptures now. And I'm just going to read the very first scripture. I think we need to get to slide number 3. I think it is. It's the scripture one. Sorry, is that communication right with you at the back? And the next one? And the next one? Right, we'll start here. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Now just hold on to your seats. It's not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. We live in a bless me society, don't we? It's almost bless me. You know, you deserve this. You hear every day on the television, if you've got a television, I'm sure you all have. Bless me society. Here in God's word, it's saying God is doing this for his holy name's sake. Have you grasped that? He's doing it for his holy name's sake. Not doing it for you or for me. He's doing it for his holy name's sake. Okay, let's have the next one. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. The name, this is to the children of Israel, he's speaking. The name you have profaned among the nations, and we all know that we've all profaned the name of the Lord, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm sure you know that scripture only too well. I will show the holiness of my great name, which you have profaned. And the next one, then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. Have you grasped the dimension of what's going on here? God is showing the holiness of who he is to the nations. The nations means the world. Let's have a look at the next one. How is he going to do it? How is the Lord going to show himself holy through the house of Israel? The next one, he tells you in the next verse, for I will take you, this is the children of Israel, out of the nations. I will gather you from the countries and bring you back into your own land. You've been hearing about that all this morning through the different scriptures that have been coming. Just think about it. He's taking this small people group, taking them from right across the world where they've been scattered, and taking them back into one focal place, a place where he has placed his name. Did you know the Lord has placed his name on Jerusalem, on Zion? And then look what he says. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. When you just think about the history of humanity, right from Adam and Eve, what really has upset God? What do you think really has upset God? I mean, there are lots of things, aren't there? But high on the list is idolatry. Your sin, but also idolatry. Let's have a look at the next one. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. Isn't that wonderful? A free gift. I'm going to give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone. Oh, don't we know about stony hearts? I'm sure you know somebody with a stony heart. Didn't it sadden your heart when someone's got a stony heart? But look, he's going to take those stony hearts and he's going to give you a heart of flesh. Heart of flesh. And the next one, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the next one. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. Just look at that last verse for a minute. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. He's talking to the children of Israel. A land that's been given to them. This is a concept that many of us haven't actually grasped, that the Lord has given a land to a certain people group called the children of Israel. We'll come back to that later on, why that has happened. And then he says, I will be your God. Have you noticed there's a lot of use of the word I will? On the next slide, please. I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from the countries. I will bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will cleanse you from all impurities. I will give you a new heart. I will remove from you a heart of stone. And I will give you a heart of flesh. I will be your God. And the next one, he takes you gathers you, brings you back, sprinkles you clean water on you, cleanses you from your impurities, gives you a new heart, removes from you a heart of stone, gives you a heart of flesh, and I will be your God. Now we imbibe that all ourselves, don't we? But you know, there's a special people group that this has a special meaning for. You know, next week you're going to celebrate harvest. And in the Hebrew calendar, it's tabernacles. Whilst you're in here having your few, they're going to be out in their tents with their see-through roofs waiting for the rain to come. Anyhow, that's another story. I won't get into that for the minute. Why is he doing it? Let's see the next slide. He's doing it for one reason. That is for my holy name's sake. And the next one, and the second part of it is that the whole world, the nations, will know that I am the Lord. Now I'm just going to show you a little clip. This clip was made 10 years ago, so there's some little bits in it that aren't quite the same as today, like the people on it have got a different role in the organization, but that doesn't matter. It's an amazing clip talking about how God is revealing this prophetic word, that it's being actually happening before our very eyes at this very time. Thank you. If we could get on to that, that's brilliant. It's 120 to 130.
In my spirit. Because you see, God is on the move. That is what is exciting. We're seeing biblical prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. And in this dark world, particularly looking at the situation that Israel is in, we know that God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has not forsaken his ancient people. You know, we owe such a debt to the Jewish people. Our Bible is a Jewish book. Our prophets are theirs. They're Jewish prophets. They belong, first of all, to Israel. We Christians recognize a Jewish Messiah. It's so important that we follow the advice of the Bible and bless the Jews materially as they have blessed us spiritually. And that's what we seek to do in Ebenezer Operation Exodus. And
I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. This amazing prophecy was written by the Hebrew prophet Isaiah more than 2,500 years ago. The Lord, speaking through Isaiah, said this second regathering of the exiles of Israel would be from all over the world, not just Babylon. Since the beginning of the 20th century, 5 million Jews have returned to the land of Israel. The main call of Ebenezer Operation Exodus is to help the Jewish people return home to their historic homeland, Israel. This Christian ministry began its work after the fall of the Iron Curtain. Jeremiah prophesied that the Jews trapped in the vast North Country would be released to return home.
Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no more say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land.
Since then, over 1 million Jews and their families have flooded home to Israel from the north country, the former Soviet Union. In just 20 years, Ebenezer Operation Exodus has assisted more than 130,000 of them to return home to Israel. Remarkably, Isaiah had prophesied that Gentiles would help facilitate the regathering of the Jewish people to Israel.
Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the peoples. And they shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders.
To date, the main focus of Operation Exodus has been the former Soviet Union. The work began in Ukraine, where Operation Exodus brought Jewish immigrants and their families home to Israel by sea from the port of Odessa. Between 1991 and 2004, more than 40,000 people were taken home to their promised land on 172 sailings. This too was a fulfillment of biblical prophecy.
And the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar.
Today, Operation Exodus has more than 40 bases or representatives scattered across the former Soviet Union, from the far east of Russia, Siberia, the Central Asian Republics, the volatile Caucasus region, to Moldova and Ukraine in the west. Fishing teams search for Jewish people in the towns and cities, as well as those scattered in the far-flung areas of the vast land of the north. But the main thrust of the ministry is Aliyah, which in Hebrew means going up. It's the term used for returning home to Israel. In recent years, the Lord has been preparing Ebenezer Operation Exodus to be ready to assist in regathering the exiles of Israel from all points on the globe, especially in view of the escalating anti-Semitism across the world. The work and ministry of Ebenezer Operation Exodus could not function without the Lord's enabling. The role of prayer and intercession has been at the core of the ministry from the very beginning in 1991.
We were very alert to the voice of the Lord. He, I believe, taught us then the centrality of the place of prayer in the ministry of Ebenezer. And so I sense then this whole, the centrality of understanding the importance of the Word of God in our prayers. We began to base our prayers on God's Word. We were thinking very much about Aliyah scriptures, that the Lord was watching over His Word to perform it. But His promises were there.
Today, Ebenezer Operation Exodus is represented in more than 45 countries around the world, from South Korea in one corner of the globe to Latin America in the other.
Young Christians in the nations grow up with the media portraying Israel as the bad guy. They see a lot of anti-Semitism rising, and there is a lot that the Bible says about the times we're living in. So we want to equip them for what's to come. We want to pack their spiritual backpack with insight in God's Word, in the prophetic Word, so they can live out their calling.
Hi, my name is Christy and I'm from New Zealand. You need to come to Israel. Your faith will be impacted, your view of Israel will be challenged, and you'll have a chance to bless Israel back.
Dear friends, the regathering of the Jewish people after nearly 2,000 years of diaspora is a powerful demonstration of God's faithfulness to His Word. You have watched how He is bringing them back from the four corners of the world in order to plant and bless them in their historic homeland, Israel.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, if you think about it, if you are the Lord, right, and you created Adam and Eve, and that fruit comes along, and Adam and Eve decide they're going to choose the fruit. All right, what happens then? The whole of society, from becoming a glorious, sinless society, becomes a sinful society. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And I'm sure you know the story of Noah. God really got fed up with them all, so much so He's going to destroy the whole lot, animals and everything as well. Except one person, Noah, and He saved Noah. You just think, if you're the creator of the world, you know, how the dynamics will be happening. And then, all right, then Noah and his family, you know, getting, they make this ark. That was a very big step of faith, wasn't it? And then the flood comes up. That wasn't global warming. That was some supernatural thing. And then you get the flood, and this family has survived. And they start all off again. But it wasn't very long before one of the sons of Noah, Ham, he gave in, didn't he, to sin. And what do you think God was saying up there? He's saying, oh, look, I'm pretty fed up with you lot. You want to go your own way. And then he has this idea. Look, there's this guy called Abraham, or Abram as he was called then. And he actually feared God. And he got hold of Abraham and said, Abraham, look, I want you to go where I'm telling you to go. Ooh. Where are we going, Lord? Don't know. The Lord's going to tell me. How many of you would get in your car, start the engine up and go if you didn't know where you were going? That's the dynamic with Abraham. It was Abram then, because his name was changed to Abraham. And then Abraham actually, believe it or not, is obedient to the Lord. And he does what the Lord wants him to do. And he takes him all the way up from Ur of the Chaldees, which is down the bottom of Iraq, all the way up the top, and all the way down again to a land called Canaan. What was special about Canaan? Canaan was full of the worst sin you could ever imagine. The sin of the Amorites was awful. So what God said, he said to Abraham, look, I'm just going to give them 400 years to get themselves sorted out. And then if they don't get sorted out, you can have the land. That's exactly what happened. When Moses came back, it's 400 years later. But you see, in the meantime, the Lord made eternal, everlasting covenants with Abraham. Now, how long is everlasting? 10 years? 20 years? A century? A millennia? How long is everlasting? It's everlasting. So these covenants that you'll read in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, Genesis 13, they are everlasting covenants. We haven't got time to go into them, but they really are quite something. And it's made with Abraham, but also they're very specifically made with another miracle. And the other miracle was Isaac. Now, if you happen to be 91 years old, a barren woman, how about a pregnancy? How about a pregnancy if you're 91? It's quite a challenge when you're not 91. But the point is, this is a miracle. The conception of Isaac was a miracle. So God created a miracle, created a family by a miracle. And this family came to Abraham and Sarah. And Isaac was the product of it. And do you know something else? Isaac was called the firstborn son. Oh, hang on a minute. Isn't Jesus the firstborn son? No. If you look, when Moses went to Pharaoh, he said, firstborn son. When he was talking about Israel. Of course, Jesus is God's only begotten son. All right. Well, anyhow, things didn't go well either, did they, with that lot? And then Hosea, I'm sure some of you have read the book of Hosea. Hosea has to marry a prostitute. My goodness. But anyhow, this is what God told him to do. And then in chapter 11 of Hosea, there's this amazing outpouring of God's compassion on the children of Israel, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amazing compassion that comes in Hosea. This is what God says. He was really getting annoyed with them all. But then he says, listen, you chaps, you mums and dads, you know, if your sons do something awful, you know, if your kids do something awful, you know, first of all, you say, you shouldn't have done that, etc., 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 etc. You know, when they get to the bottom of the pit, you don't leave them there, do you? You pick them up because they're your child. And that's exactly what God did to his group. In Hosea 11, it says, My heart is changed within me. This is God saying this. Listen, all my compassion is aroused. When the Lord roars like a lion, his children will come with trembling. Where? From the west, from Egypt, from Assyria. And listen, I will settle them in their own homes, declares the Lord. We've already heard from Jeremiah 31 this morning. See, I will bring them from the land of the north, gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers, women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water and on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father. Israel was the name given to Jacob. Do you remember? After he struggled with God, his name was changed to Israel. And Israel is my firstborn son. Then, if we turn to the prophet Isaiah, that was in Jeremiah 31, and we heard that earlier this morning. In Isaiah 43, verse 3, we hear this. Do not be afraid. Huh, isn't that lovely? Do not be afraid. I find that very, very, very comforting when someone says, look, don't be afraid. You know, I've got something good for you. I will bring your children from the east, gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. To the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Oh, you may say, well, that's okay. That's all right. That's fine for them. God is God is God is. We sang a song about chosen people this morning, didn't we? We are chosen people. Hallelujah. That was a great song, wasn't it? But, you know, this specific group of people are chosen as well for a specific purpose. Well, where do you and I fit in it? I mean, unless you're a Jew here, where do you fit into this? Well, it tells you in Isaiah 49, see, I will beckon to the Gentiles. This is in Isaiah, 500 years before the birth of Christ. I will beckon to the Gentiles. That's you and me, unless you happen to be Jewish. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. God will lift his banner to his peoples. Do you remember how important banners were in warfare in the old days? The First World War, banner. Everybody was behind the banner, wasn't their flag. I will lift my banner to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their hips. So the nations of the world are going to help bring back these people to the land the Lord gave them originally. Okay, how are they going to do it? Well, today we use ships and we use planes. Now, we hear a lot about ships in the Bible, don't we? Ships of Tarshish and ships of this and the other. How about a plane? Does anybody know a scripture referring to a plane? Well, if you were Isaiah, because Isaiah did mention planes, 500 years before Jesus was born, isn't that amazing? I think it's incredible. How would you describe a plane? Someone like trying to describe a plane. How would you describe a plane if you've never seen one in your life? Hey? Birds, I know the wings flap a little on a plane, don't they? Just a little. You wouldn't want a massive movement, would you? That would be just a wee bit too much. Any other suggestions? Fixed wing bird. I like it. Shall we see what Isaiah said? Just listen to this. Who are these that fly like clouds? Isn't that great? Because they, just like that, it's a plane's just like a cloud, isn't it? If you see what I mean, and they were in its trajectory. How about an airport? Do you think Isaiah saw an airport? Well, then it goes on to say, like doves to their nests. Do you think that's an airport? I think it is. And who are in the lead? In the lead are the ships of Tarshish. That means probably nothing to you. Where is Tarshish? I tell you, theologians have problems finding out where Tarshish is. Some people think it's just outside the Mediterranean, a place called Tartessus. Some people say it's the UK. Why? Because the ships of Tarshish came into the Mediterranean bringing a very rare metal. Not found in the Mediterranean. Does anyone know what that metal was? I've given you a clue. It comes from this land we're in. Tin! Tin! Still was close, but tin? Tin. The only source of tin they had in the Mediterranean came from outside the Mediterranean. And it came from, believe it or not, UK. Anyhow, why are they doing all this? They also bring their silver and their gold, as you mentioned, to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Well, I think it's amazing that Isaiah had that. You may say, well, look, in AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed. The children of Israel were scattered. They're either killed or scattered. Because Israel in those days was known as Judea and Samaria. Can we have the next slide? Will that be all right? Are we stuck with the slides? Is it possible to have the next one? Yeah, that's one before that. And then in AD 135, Emperor Hadrian, who we know about Hadrian's Wall, got so fed up with the small groups of Jewish people that were still in the land of the Holy Land, that he changed the name of the Holy Land to Palestine. That was in AD 135. So in my Bible it says maps in the time of Palestine in the time of Jesus. It's actually not true, because it wasn't called Palestine. It was called the mountains of Judea and Samaria. So that, you know, say, well, you know, this, things are going downhill, aren't they? Well, I tell you what, over the centuries, Jewish people have gone back to live in the Holy Land. Over the centuries, even through the Ottoman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, they went back. Although they were persecuted sometimes, but they went back. But there was a great milestone, which we here in the UK had something to do with. And that was in 1917. And it's important we pray for our governments, because in 1917, there was something called the Balfour Declaration. And that's it up on the screen there. You probably can't see it because it's the bright's too small. But the important bit, it says, His Majesty's government views with favour the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavours to facilitate this achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. An amazing statement signed and made by our cabinet here in the UK. Incredible, isn't it? I'm not going to go into that because we could speak a lot about that, but that was a real milestone. And after the First World War, the British had control over the Holy Land, Palestine, is part of something called the British Mandate. And then in 1920, the international community piled in. Could we have the next slide, please? The international community piled in with something called the San Remo Conference. And they basically rubber stamped the Balfour Declaration. It was done by the League of Nations, which was the forerunner of the United Nations. And that still stands today in law. Unfortunately, the British nation was no different from any other nation, no different from all all other history, times of history, that we actually reneged on this. And in 1922, 74% of the land that was included in that document was given to make another country, which was called Jordan. Isn't that interesting? 74% of the property of the land that was in that document was then given to Jordan. We then go on to 1948. The British really didn't have much support at all for the Jewish people up to the Second World War and during the Second World War. I'm not going to that, but it was awful, some of the things that happened. But in 1948, when the British withdrew from what was then known as Palestine, the Jewish population declared the state of Israel in 1948. And immediately they were invaded. And Jordan invaded and took the mountains of Samaria and Judea, which is now called the West Bank. Well, it was established, though, as a nation in 1948. And that's really quite something, really. And then in 1967, Jerusalem was united. And in 1973, the mountains of Bashan in the Bible, which is called the Golan Heights, came into the control of Israel. So you can see there's been a progressive development of land, the land that the Lord put his name on, for his people to come back into. We in Ebenezer have helped 180,000 people in one way or another make this process of going back to Israel since 1991. This is really quite amazing, 180,000. And we work in 55 countries helping them and assisting them. What do we do here in the UK? We've actually got the fourth largest Jewish population in the world in the UK. 290,000 Jews in the UK. Many of them are well assimilated in the UK here. You know, they see I'm British. But you know, something happens in the heart in a Jew. Something happens in the heart in the Jew when the Lord reveals to them their origins and what he's got planned for them. And the heart suddenly starts stirring, and they then get interested in going back to a land which, you know, they're not in at the moment, going to a land they were originally promised. So we get involved in that way, in helping them if they have to find their documents, to find, you know, to prove that they are who they are. It's very interesting that, you know, some people lost their documents in the Second World War because they were destroyed. So you have to find some ways of actually proving their Jewish identity. If you could just go to the next next two slides. This one here is brilliant. This is what comes from Genesis 15. And you know, in Genesis 15, the Lord made this a covenant with Abraham. And he says, I'm going to give you this land, the river of Egypt, with all the ites. The great river of the Euphrates, the land of the Canaanites, the Kenizzites, Cabanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. And this map is an attempt to show you where those people were living. The bottom you can't really see properly, but there are four. We don't know where they lived, but we know where all the others lived. And if you look at that map there, it's actually, the yellowish bit is today's Israel, and you look at the where it says the Hittites, that goes right up to the Euphrates at the top, and that's Syria, and the blue bit, where the Ammonites bit, is actually Jordan. Today's Jordan. But that was the land the Lord said in Genesis 15 he was going to give to Abraham.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org. www.thehebrewprophecy.org.uk. God bless you.